Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Every week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 20 other major languages. For the past few weeks on Hope for Today, we've been studying from the closing verses of Daniel chapter 11 and the first few verses of chapter 12. Our study is titled, The Time of the End. I hope you're enjoying our times together in this challenging and interesting book. So far, we've learned that this king of the end time will be different than all the other kings before him. He will honor the God of fortresses. In other words, he will worship military power like none before him. He will demonstrate his worship of that military power by offering to it gold and silver with precious stones and costly gifts. So whatever makes him more powerful will be valued and honored. That is his singular focus. And then he will have a singular finish. Because in spite of all his victories and all his wealth, verse 45 speaks clearly of this singular finish. It says, "He shall come to his end with none to help him." Revelation chapter 19 and verses 17 to 21 describes the destruction of the beast and his armies at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, as we resume our study, I will read Daniel chapter 11, verse 40, through chapter 12, verse 3. At the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, horsemen, and with many ships. And he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. He shall also enter the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape from his hand: Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon. He shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt. Also, the Libyans and Ethiopians shall follow at his heels. But news from the east and from the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go out with great fury to destroy and annihilate many. And he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and no one will help him. At that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars, forever and ever. This is the climax of chapters 10 through 12, as well as the climax of the whole series of prophecies in the book of Daniel. Now, keep in mind, Daniel's people, the Jewish people, are the focus of the entire book. God will keep his promises to his ancient, chosen, earthly people. The end of chapter 11 focuses on the political and religious aspect of the time of the end, while the opening of chapter 12 focuses on Israel as a people. Now, there are three things that these verses in chapter 12 add to the previous revelation. The time of the end has a special relationship to Israel. The Jewish people who truly worship God will experience a time of unique deliverance. And finally, the promise of the resurrection, which occurs at this time, will provide hope for those who have been recently martyred. We'll explore these in greater depth as we continue our teaching. I want you to notice with me how this first verse of chapter 12 begins, "and at that time." In fact, this same phrase is mentioned twice in this verse. This is a continuation of what's being revealed to Daniel in the previous chapter regarding the time of the end. It seems that the events listed here are not subsequent, but rather simultaneous chronologically. That is, they're occurring together. The angel, Michael, is reintroduced as the great, or we could say chief, prince who stands watch over the children of your people. Jude 9 refers to Michael as the archangel, the highest of the angelic beings. And it's stated here that he has the responsibility of protecting the people of Israel. So what is the reason for his presence here? Well, there will be a time of trouble and tribulation like the world has never seen before and will never see again. Even liberal commentators, those who doubt that Daniel is even authentic, agree that these verses in no way can describe the persecution that took place under Antiochus Epiphanes. This is the time of Jacob's trouble, and it's prophesied in many places. It's also referred to as the Day of the Lord and the Great Tribulation, an unprecedented time in the history of the world. One of the earliest predictions of this is in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verses 27 to 30. But Jeremiah 30 and verses 5 to 7 are very specific. "For thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now, and see, whether a man is ever in labor with a child? So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor, and all faces turned pale? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." And then there are additional references in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, which we looked at earlier in this series, Matthew 24:21, and Zechariah 13 and verse 8. Jesus described this time of great tribulation as beginning with the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. That's Matthew 24:15. And as you may recall, the Antichrist will make a covenant with Israel for 1 week, that is the 70th week of Daniel's vision, and after 3.5 years, he will break that covenant of peace that he has made with Israel, and he will desecrate the temple. We talked about that in chapter 11. Then Israel as a nation will enter a time of the most severe persecution and suffering. Jesus gave explicit instructions to his people regarding what they should do and shouldn't do when they see this time of tribulation unfolding. He said that this time of trouble will be so severe that if God would not cut it short, no flesh would be saved. Let's look at what happens during this time of trouble. Daniel has promised that your people will be delivered. This deliverance seems to refer only to those who are actually living at the time of Christ's return. However, there's a caveat or a condition. The delivered ones will be those whose name shall be found written in the book. What book? I believe the book of life. And this idea about a book of life, as Revelation 21:27 calls it, appears early in Israel's history. In Exodus chapter 32 and verse 32, after the sin of the golden calf, Moses pleads with God for his people, and he says, "If you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written." Psalm 69, verse 28, Revelation 13:8, and Revelation 21:27 all contain similar references. I also want you to notice the double reference to your people in this first verse. This may have a bearing on our understanding of verse 2. Verse 2, I acknowledge, is difficult to understand and to explain. And in our understanding of all things prophetic, we need to be kind and gracious, even when we disagree. Now first, notice with me that this is not a general resurrection. The text says, many of those who sleep in the earth shall awake. Many, but not all. Is this resurrection limited to the Jewish people who are martyred during this time of the end? Perhaps. Some commentators insist that this is not a physical resurrection, but a spiritual one. But that ignores the literal meaning of the term as it's used throughout Scripture. Bible teachers who spiritualize this resurrection interpret the first part of the verse as pertaining to Israel's restoration. But then they pass over the second part of the verse that addresses those who are raised to shame and everlasting contempt. It's clear Revelation 20 verses 12 and 13 teach us that the dead are raised literally for their final judgment. So this same verb must also mean resurrection for the righteous. The meaning of the word awake is the same in both instances. John Wolford, in his commentary, states, and I quote, "What is presented here is that those who have died will be raised from the dead to join those living in this period of restoration. Israelites who survived the tribulation and who are the object of divine deliverance that's promised in Romans 11:26 will be joined by Old Testament saints who will be raised from the dead. This will occur after the Great Tribulation and at the Second Coming of Christ." That's the end of the quote. Now, as I understand Scripture, there is no clear indication that the Old Testament saints will be raised at the time that the church is caught away, as Paul describes it for us in 2 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18. It seems preferable to consider the resurrection of the Old Testament saints as occurring at the time of Israel's restoration. Together with those who survive the tribulation, they will join in establishing the millennial kingdom, which, as I understand Scripture to teach, will follow the second coming of Christ. In addition, those who are martyred during the tribulation will also be raised, as indicated by Revelation chapter 20 and verses 4 through 6. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back in 1 week to continue this study. If you'd like an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just request it by its title, The Time of the End. The quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, The Time of the End. We'd be happy to send one to you. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact us is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And request a free copy of this teaching, The Time of the End, either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime at the website twr360.org. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we conclude our study, The Time of the End. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.